As long
No.
as we have a quorum, we have Kyle and you, so we're good to go.
Okay.
We have all our presenters. I think so.
Okay. All righty. So do you have to start a recording on your side or something like that? Or,
Started.
oh, okay, good. All right then. We have the presence of a quorum, so we're getting started, and I'll call for the approval of the minutes.
So moved. Or
All
approved.
in favor?
Aye.
We're all good. Okay. Eric, do we just start with Kathy, or do you want to say
Yeah.
something?
Kathy's going to run it, and then I'll make some comments. That'd be great.
Okay,
Kathy.
Great.
that's
Thanks.
good. All right.
Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, so Mary John will be presenting the financial statements for the year, and I'm pleased to report that it was another strong year for the corporation. This meeting today actually is about 2 weeks earlier than usual due to calendars and scheduling. So, just ahead of time, I'd like to thank the HCC accounting team and the other staff members in the corporation, as well as the EY team, for all of their hard work and diligence to get us to this point. So, thank you very much. So, after Mary presents her report, Danielle and Aaron from EY will present the audit findings, after which we'll ask the members to approve the 2021 financial statements. Then Ellen will present the annual investment report for your approval as well. Then we'll move to the usual agenda items. Ellen will present the debt and investment reports. Mary Hom will present the credit risk and internal audit reports. And then Mary will also present the annual audit committee report for your approval. So we have a full agenda today. And then before we carry on, I'll flip it over to Eric.
Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, just gonna, quick comments and to update folks, and if there's any questions. But so happy New Year! It is great to be in a new year. We ended last year in an incredibly strong place. So you may have seen the announcement, but HPD hit over 200,000 units in the plan, and we had a really strong end of year closing season with the NYCHA Pact preservation deals. We have with NYCHA, there's over 30,000 units now in that pipeline or designated with sponsors or out in RFP, and significant numbers of them are actually done. It is unusual for us a little bit. We try to offset those cycles by a quarter or so, but we were kind of active on both, extremely active on both the housing plan side and the NYCHA preservation side. And so it was a very exciting and busy December for us. On the COVID front, we're taking it the same way you all are. We're back in the office and we're working, we're being prudent about that. We had some flexibility at the end of the year, trying to make sure people stayed healthy and teams, got work done. And so we've been really like pushing as hard as we can on all those fronts and monitoring that situation. I think we mentioned last time we have 100% vaccination, which we're proud of, and booster numbers that have been going up as well. And we're hopeful that we'll turn a corner in the spring, and that as everyone is. So it's been a difficult season, and we're trying to do the best we can on all those fronts. We've had the same kind of incidents that you're all seeing around you and friends and family and coworkers. So we're managing that as best we can, and we think we're doing a good job of it. On the eviction moratorium, which this moratorium is ending, we are in, again, I've used this phrase before, but it's a watchful waiting, as this expiration happens. Generally, our portfolio is a little better insulated as an affordable portfolio, but there's still risks to it. And obviously, there's risk to people in the world. And so we're going to be working with our other agencies and HPD in particular to make sure that we all do the best we can. And we're advocating for more resources at the federal level. You saw that there was a second round of support that was coming, but it really is a tiny amount of support compared to what those needs are. So there's a lot of pushing for additional resources at the federal level and advocacy. And then on the transition front, it is, you're following it as we are. We probably get a little more detail. I actually had a very good coffee meeting with downtown with Jessica Katz yesterday just to have some conversations and start that. We're waiting for official appointments, and we're waiting to hear more on the HPD front. So more to come on that. And with that, I'll pause there. If there's any questions or comments, happy to do that. Otherwise, we can jump back into the meeting.
So is Jessica in the going to be in this role that is based in City Hall? Is that the way it seems to be shaping up?
That's what we're reading and seems to be, that's our understanding. And she's actually there working in some capacity, but it's not officially designated at this point. And we saw an article yesterday that indicated that the mayor may be considering a deputy mayor. That seems to go back and forth a little bit. So, but yes, that's our understanding that this, what's called a chief housing officer, is the same reports that we've had. I think that's the expectation that people have at this point. But again, until it's official, it's hard to right. know. And the idea, our understanding is that that position would report to the first deputy mayor, which would be Lorraine Grillo, and the kind of benefits of that would, significant benefits would be coordination with OMB and DOB. So, you know, even though it might not have housing in a deputy mayor title, the fact that it would be with the first deputy mayor and have coordination with OMB and DOB seems to be useful. So,
okay,
remains to be seen. Yep.
Thank you. Any questions? It's just Kyle. You got anything you want to say? Okay, we'll move on for the presentation of the corporate financial report, Mary.
Thank you, Denise. Good afternoon, everyone. And yesterday, we sent you an updated black line version of the financial statements that reflected Ernst & Young's comments from the independent reviewer. There were no substantial changes. However, we don't anticipate any material changes. But if there are any before EY signs, we will send you an updated copy. Despite another year of operating under the global pandemic, the corporation has achieved another successful year of growth. The coronavirus pandemic has led to some challenges, but the corporation has adapted and performed very well. The MD&A provides an overview of the financial structure of HGC and its subsidiaries and key operating results for fiscal year 2021. Corporation had net income of $287.3 million in fiscal year 2021 as a result of the following. Operating revenues, which comprises of mortgage interest and other fees, totaled $682.7 million. Non-operating revenues net of expenses total $41.5 million, mainly from grant revenues from the Battery Park City Authority. Usually investment income makes up a larger percentage of non-operating revenues. However, this year there was an unrealized paper loss of $53.2 million. Operating expenses, mainly bond interest, salaries, and fringe benefits, were $438.3 million. Total assets increased to $24.4 billion, an increase of $2.6 billion of 11.76% from fiscal year end 2020. The increase was due to the very active mortgage lending and bond financing activities throughout the year. HGC's mortgage loan portfolio has performed very well during the pandemic. HGC staff has worked closely with mortgagors to monitor their financial positions and granted forbearances to a few developments, as well as access to their reserves. As of the end of the fiscal year, all mortgages that had been granted forbearance had resumed making their monthly mortgage payments. Total liabilities were at $20.7 billion, an increase of $2.2 billion, or 11.87% from fiscal year in 2020, as a result of the corporation's ongoing financial activities. HGC issued 18 new bond series totaling $2.6 billion, and debt obligation draws totaled $48.3 million. The corporation had a total of $1.3 billion in bond repayments for the fiscal year, of which $1 billion were bond redemptions and $245.5 million were scheduled debt service principal payments. Additionally, HGC signed a new loan participation agreement with the Federal Financing Bank for $135.5 million. Total net position of the corporation was at $3.7 billion, representing an increase of $287.3 million, or 8.41% from the prior year. Of this amount, $242.6 million was generated from the corporation's activities and $44.7 million from grant revenues. During the fiscal year, the corporation early adopted Government Accounting Standard Board's 87 leases. In the corporation's normal course of its business, it leases office space, which was previously accounted for as an operating expense. With the adoption of GASB Statement 87, the remaining lease commitment was recognized as a lease liability and the right to use the premises as a lease asset. There were no cumulative effects of adjustments for the prior year as a result of the adoption. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our Deputy Controller Chuck Hugh and the rest of the accounting staff for their hard work during this audit period. This concludes my remarks. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mary? Okay. So we're going to move to the audit reports, Danielle and Erin.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for having Erin and myself here today. I think Erin is just bringing up on the screen a copy of our audit results document, which I believe was included in your package, so hopefully looks familiar, although I know a lot of materials were included. So Erin and I will just take a couple minutes to walk through this. Really just want to give you sort of a high-level summary of the audit procedures and process for this year. And so maybe, Erin, we can just go right ahead and flip to page one within the document, which is really just a reminder of our audit services that we're performing for the agency, and really which is in line with the deliverables and the financial statements that were included within your package. And so that's around the financial statements of the corporation, as well as the uniform guidance grant compliance report, the USAP procedures, and that agreed upon procedures report, as well as the schedule of investments, I believe, that was all included within your materials and that Mary just presented in, prior to this. And so, you know, just a reminder there that those are the financial items that we are reporting on, and it's consistent with the prior years. And so maybe with that, we'll just move to our next page of our materials, which really here is an executive summary, just trying to kind of summarize all of our results. And maybe, you know, just as Kathy said at the beginning of the meeting, I know that this meeting is a little bit earlier in the month than maybe historically it has been. And so, you know, our audit issuance is anticipated to be consistent with prior years, closer to the end of January. And so we plan to issue the final financial statements for all of those deliverables I just outlined by the end of the month, and are working towards that with Kathy and her team currently. And so what I'll say is, you know, that we have included these results, really a summary of our results to date at this point in the audit process. You know, we're still in process on some of our procedures and some of our review of the procedures, as you know, our audit procedures need to go through several levels of executive review as part of our process. And so, you know, I'll say that at this point, you know, all of our comments that, you know, Erin and I will make at this point really are sort of a summary of our procedures to date, and then what we foresee and expect to be really the final outcome and conclusions for the audit. And, you know, if there were any significant changes between now and when we do issue final reports, you know, we would reach back out to the committee members and provide some kind of summary. But, you know, at this point, don't expect that to happen. And as I said, you know, really what we're presenting today is what we expect to be the results that are concluded upon, you know, when we get closer to the end of January. And so maybe I'll just start quickly on this executive summary page. Right in the middle, in the top section, is I think a good summary of our conclusions that we expect and where we expect to finalize. And really, I will say that, you know, all of our conclusions to date really are that, you know, the financial statements and financial information that Mary just presented is, you know, in line with our expectations. We think it's been recorded and disclosed appropriately in the various financial deliverables. And really, as part of our audit process, you know, to date, we've not had any corrected or uncorrected misstatements within those financial materials, which really just means that, you know, the way that the financial statements and other financial deliverables are prepared by Kathy and team are consistent. What you're now seeing as sort of final draft versions of those are really very consistent with the way that we got them. And so that really just means that through the audit process, although we do a lot of procedures and everything, you know, it didn't result in any adjustments to those financial statements and other financial deliverables. And so really, as I said, you know, positive comments to say there. I think Erin will talk through the summary of our sort of areas of emphasis for the audit. But I think, you know, as you will see, really, we have, you know, no findings to report to the committee as part of our results. And so, you know, I will say we do anticipate issuing what we call unmodified opinions on each of the financial deliverables. And really that just means, you know, clean audit opinions. It's our terminology in the accounting world. And so there is a quick summary on sort of our open items at this point, if someone did want to know them, down in the bottom right corner on this executive summary. And then the other thing maybe I'll touch on is on the bottom left hand side of the summary, which is really just a, you know, a summary around our digital audit and some of our data analytics that, you know, we have worked to implement in prior audits and are working to implement this year. And so Aaron will comment a little bit more on there in an area where we are expanding our data analytics this year and looking and have implemented some new procedures that we are working through at this point. And so maybe with that, Aaron, I'll turn it to you to talk us through the next couple pages.
Thank you, Danielle. As Danielle mentioned, we executed or are executing our audit procedures consistent with the plan communicated in October. I'll spend some time focusing on a few highlights over new procedures or areas in 2021. As Mary mentioned, management adopted GASB 87 for leases this year, which really included the preparation of an analysis to understand the impact of the new accounting standard. We audited management's assessment and agree with their conclusions about the leases that were impacted, the amounts recorded as the lease liability and asset both at adoption and year end, which you'll see recorded on the face of the financial statements. We evaluated the new disclosures added by management to the financial statements related to this new accounting standard, and no issues were identified. As a significant account that we focus our procedures over during the audit is mortgage receivables. And this year we sent out confirmations for a sample of the balances as planned and similar to prior years. And as Danielle mentioned, this year we also were working to implement data analytics over the mortgage receivables, which will allow us to review the relationship between the loan activity and to roll forward the loan balances. No issues have been identified here to date. We also focus our audit procedures on revenue recognition, specifically the interest earned on those mortgages, and we perform testing as planned, including detailed testing and a predictive analytic. And as a part of that data analytics I mentioned for mortgage receivables, we'll also be analyzing interest income. No issues have been identified here to date. Further, we also perform data analytics related to operating expenses in addition to the detailed transaction testing over the account. This was our first specific account-related data analytics, which we implemented last year and repeated this year. We were able to evaluate the correlation between the expenses and payables and the accruals for the fiscal year 2021 and investigate any unusual transactions, identifying none. And no issues are identified there to date. Moving to our next page, really this is a bit of a summary related to the other procedures Danielle mentioned, in that we're completing the testing related to the single audit and USEP audit, and no issues have been identified there to date. Are there any questions? Hearing none, I'll pass this back to Danielle to walk us through the required communications.
Thanks, Erin. Actually, you know, I don't think that I will walk through in any detail the remaining pages of the materials. Really, these are just what we call sort of our standard required communications that we're required to include in our communications to the audit committee. And so, you know, but I will say, I think already all comments that myself and Aaron made have really summarized what you may have seen also on these subsequent pages. And so I don't think anything else to highlight. And so, you know, I really think in conclusion, I will just say, you know, I want to say a big thank you to Kathy and her team and really the whole team at the corporation for their assistance through the audit process. You know, I think that we are in a great place with the audit process at this point and look to certainly be able to close out these audits by the end of the month as planned. And so just want to say thank you to everyone for the time on your agenda today to go through these materials. And certainly let us know if you have any questions.
Thank you, Danielle and Aaron. And so moving on, we will move to the approval of the corporation's FY 2021 financial statement. Do we need to have any discussion? Or we could just move for a motion?
You can just vote unless Kyle has any.
All right. So then I'll accept the motion, Kyle.
That's second.
A yes. Okay, yeah, there we go. And the motion carries. Okay, so approval of the corporation's annual investment report for FY 2021. Ellen, you want to take the mic?
Yes, thank you. So the New York City Housing Development Corporation is submitting its annual investment report for the corporation and its subsidiaries pursuant to Section 2925 of the Public Authorities Law of New York State. The report presents the corporation's investment record for fiscal year 2021. As required by the statute, the report includes the investment record of the corporation, which is discussed in the letter in front of you, the investment guidelines as approved by the members on January 26, 2021, the results of an annual independent audit in draft form, since we're just approving them. This report also includes descriptive charts on HDC's investments and investing environment and a counterparty credit risk exposure summary. The major points in the report include earnings on investments totaled $51.98 million in fiscal year 2021, and this is a decrease of $37.7 million from fiscal year 2020, due mainly to a decrease in reinvestment rates during fiscal year 2021. The lower interest rates across the short-term maturities and a changing yield curve environment are factors to consider in the corporation's ongoing investment strategy. Because of the corporation's commitments, the majority of investments must be held for the short term, which provides sufficient liquidity for the corporation. In response to the current interest rate environment, the corporation continued to invest primarily in collateralized demand deposits, certificates of deposit, guaranteed investment contracts, and direct purchases of U.S. Treasury and agency obligations in order to optimize the yield. As required by GASB Rule Number 31, the corporation has recorded a fair value adjustment in its investment portfolio. The corporation recorded a net depreciation of $53.17 million for fiscal year 2021. As part of the corporation's investment policies, it looks to invest its bond and corporate-related reserves in securities with the intent to hold the investment to maturity. As a result, any unrealized appreciation or depreciation is only reported as an accounting gain or loss at this time. HDC funds under management increased about 7.9% from fiscal year-end 2020 to fiscal year-end 2021, from $4.6 billion to $4.9 billion. The corporation had an 8.41% growth in net position over the last year. Consolidated investment income was $51.98 million. Of this amount, $32.4 million, or 62.3% of the consolidated investment income, was attributable to bond programs and HPD-related investments, and therefore is not available to the corporation. An additional $3.68 million was earned by and retained within REMIC and HAC. The remaining $15.9 million of earnings is pledged to ongoing affordable housing programs of the corporation. HDC did not incur or pay any fees, commissions, or charges for investment services. Treasury operations are conducted by the corporation's cash management division, which uses electronic and telephone bidding processes to competitively purchase securities that meet the corporation's investment guidelines and funding needs. Oversight is provided internally by an investment committee and by various reviews by HDC's credit risk and internal audit units. There's also investment and credit risk reports presented at each meeting of the corporation's audit committee and an annual examination by our external auditors, Ernst & Young. The corporation's investment guidelines were last approved by the members on January 26, 2021. Upon approval by the audit committee and ratification by the board, this report will be submitted to the mayor and both the city and state controllers as required by public authorities law. I'll be glad to answer any questions about the 2021 annual investment report or the investment guidelines. Any questions?
No questions.
Thank you.
There are none. Then the corporation requests that the members approve the 2021 annual investment report and readopt the investment guidelines without any changes to them at this time.
Right. So I call for a motion for approval of the investment report.
Seconded.
Okay. All in favor? It passed. Aye. And Ellen, you can hold on to the mic to give us the debt report. Thank you for the earlier presentation.
Okay, thank you. The corporation's debt report is as of November 30th, 2021. The last debt report presented to audit committee was as of October 31st, 2021. During this time, the corporation issued one series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $43.3 million. There are bond redemptions in seven series of open resolution bonds in the amount of $244.6 million. The corporation's debt outstanding as of November 30th, 2021 is approximately $14.2 billion. The corporation's statutory debt capacity is $17 billion. Sorry. Any questions?
Okay. And you want to, looks like no questions, give us the investment report?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Corporation's investment report is as of December 13th, 2021. Funds under management totaled approximately $5.7 billion, and this report reflects routine investment activity. Questions?
Okay. Any questions for Ellen? Nope. Thank you. All righty. Okay. Let's move on to the credit risk exposure. Mary?
Thank you. So the report before you is dated December 31st, 2021, and the last report to the audit committee was dated October 31st, 2021. There were no new additions to the approved list of counterparties, and there were no rating agency actions of note. Our counterparty exposure remains diversified, with our largest exposures continuing to be with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Investments rated AA or higher were 58% of total investments versus 51% at the last report, and investments rated BBB or not rated were 23% of total investments versus 27% at the last report. And these investments are fully collateralized by high-quality U.S. Treasury and agency securities and or Federal Home Loan Bank letters of credit. HTC exposure to liquidity providers was $355 million, up from $305 million at the last report, and this was due to the issuance of the 2021 Series K3 bonds. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you. You want to move on to the internal audit report?
Yes, thank you. Since the last report to the audit committee on November 30th, 2021, we completed the annual employee recertification of the Code of Ethics and two internal audits. With respect to the Code of Ethics, each year HTC employees are required to affirm and certify that they have read and understand the HTC Code of Ethics. I'm pleased to report that we have completed this process for 2021. With respect to audit activity, we completed the petty cash and month-end reconciliation audits. On petty cash, our objectives were to determine whether adequate controls exist to ensure that the cash asset was safeguarded and maintained in the proper amount. Petty cash disbursements were in compliance with the corporation's policies and procedures, and the Empress Fund was properly authorized, processed, and reconciled. We found the corporation's guidelines to be effective and found no matters involving internal controls in its operation that we consider to be material weaknesses. We established that the petty cash disbursements were in compliance with policies and procedures. The petty cash on hand was kept in a secured lockbox and maintained in the proper amount, and all expenditures were properly authorized, processed, and reconciled. While there were only three petty cash transactions during the audit period, I will remind the members that we are required to perform this audit on an annual basis due to the terms of the 2003 MOU with DOI. On month-end reconciliation, our objectives were to evaluate the adequacy of controls over the month-end reconciliation process, to ensure that the accounting staff has the requisite knowledge and training to perform their duties, to ensure that policies and procedures governing month-end financial closing and reporting is up to date, to determine that data interfaced into the general ledger from various feeds is complete and accurate and recorded in the appropriate accounting period. To ensure that a formal checklist has been established detailing each step in the month-end reconciliation process. To ensure that financial statement accounts agree to the applicable GL accounts. And to determine whether the corporation's financial performance is monitored by senior management and the audit committee. Upon completion of the audit, we noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered material weakness. We found that key aspects of the month-end closing guidelines were followed. Data recorded in the GL is complete and accurate. The month-end reconciliation process is reviewed by senior staff. The corporate financial statement is reviewed by the audit committee. And accounting month-end functions were properly segregated. Any questions?
Okay, no questions. Thank you. So we'll move on to the approval of the annual HCC Audit Committee report for 2021. So go ahead, Mary.
Thank you. Pursuant to the New York City Comptroller's Directive Number 22, the Audit Committee is required to submit an annual report detailing its activities and decisions for the prior calendar year. Attached in your packet is a report consisting of a compilation of the minutes from the Audit Committee meetings that occurred during the calendar year 2021. Upon approval, this report will be submitted to the New York City Audit Committee. Thus, your approval of this report is requested at this time.
Anybody, Kyle, any
no questions? Okay. So moved. We need to vote.
Second. All in favor? You're getting lost on this point. All righty. It looks like, thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Eric, it looks like we're at the end of the agenda. So I'm asking, is there any other business or anything else you want to add? Okay. All righty then. I'll call for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Take care. Stay well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stay well.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Stay warm.